meet the year. So we've asked Rabbi Willett to help prepare us a little bit for what to expect. Thank you very much for coming.
It's a pleasure to join you this morning. I want to give a background. I assume they're all going to learn in Eretz Yisrael. And no one's going to do farming in Eretz Yisrael. Is that a correct assumption? Because we cannot discuss in this limited amount of time the multiple laws that pertain to farmers in Eretz Yisrael. So we're not going to discuss that at all. I would like to entitle my remarks today, Shemitah for the Consumer. We're consuming food in Eretz Yisrael, and I don't expect anyone to be producing food on the farms. Okay. So, let us begin. There are two potential prohibitions which would render nearly all produce that grows in Eretz Yisrael problematic. These are the prohibition known as Mishumar. Mishumar means something which is guarded. And the prohibition which is known as Nevad, the produce which is worked. In other words, if a Jew guards fruit, and a Jew works on the land and produces the fruit, according to some authorities, this creates an automatic prohibition that no one's allowed to partake, so to enjoy, to eat these fruits. It's a tremendous fight whether these prohibitions exist. They're not explicit in the Gemara. And the more lenient school claims that this is only a minority view, and therefore is what to rely upon for you as yeshiva boys coming in and you're hungry, that this prohibition will say does not exist, and the reason we can follow the minority, which is probably the majority view even, is because we assume, here's my first substantive comment, Shemitah b'sman hazeh derabbanan. Now, why is Shemitah b'sman hazeh derabbanan? Who can tell me why? Raise your hand if you know why, yes?
Because you need
Yovel, correct. Yovel requires a cross of drawer of Oretz, Chayol Shem Red Le'er Shabbos, Parshas Bahar, and we don't have that. And Shemitah depends upon Yovel. So, no Yovel d'Oraisa, no Shemitah d'Oraisa. That's reason number one. Any other reasons why perhaps there's no Shemitah d'Oraisa? Anyone else?
Might that fact be changing at
the time? Oh, Rabbi Curtis says that there's talk. That at one point in the somewhat near future, the majority of Klal Yisrael may actually be living in Eretz Yisrael. Right now, it's still not true. Who knows the demographics? Who knows who's Jewish? You know, people who count as Jewish are not really Jews, unfortunately. I don't know. But that's a very good point. So that's a matter of dispute. Who says what? I'm not going to go into the names now. I'm not rattling off names. But, different opinions. But then, there exists an Issa which is known as Sfichin. Now, the word Sfiach should be familiar to you from the Parsha, Parsha Bahar, the very beginning, Sfiach Kitzircha. But for us, Sfichin is a term of art. It refers to spontaneous produce which grows by itself, which normally requires human intervention in order to make it grow on an annual basis. And these are grains and vegetables, as opposed to fruit trees. Depending on the fruit tree, it lasts for generations. But grains and vegetables, by and large, have to plant them from scratch every single year. Chazal were afraid that if indeed grains or vegetables grew by themselves spontaneously, that, and we permit it, next thing you know, unscrupulous farmers will be planting the grains and vegetables by themselves, which of course is something which should be against the halacha. So therefore, if the grains and vegetables were both planted and harvested in Shemitah, they are prohibited. Now, this is relevant not only for those who are being Eretz Yisrael, such as yourselves, but even for people who are Nebuch in Golis, in the diaspora, there are many products from Israel that are sold on the shelves in the grocery stores. Soup powders, canned vegetables, cookies from Israeli grain. And it could be a problem, Rabbi, if you go Teres Rov for 1 year, if you don't go for Shana Bet, that's my side point, but if you don't go for 1 year, and even if you go for Shana Bet, even if you go for 2 years, and you come back, it is 2 years from today, you come back, that's 12 months, Shvita will be over, Shvita starts in 3 months, be over in 15 months, you come back in 24 months, so you're talking about 9 months after Shemitah is over, but another half a year after that, there can easily be Israeli products on the shelves which are from Shemitah products. Posh, check shelf lives. So they have to be kind of effective even when you come back a long time later. In any event, let's go further. Now, there are details. We're not going to go into this. We're not going to go into it. Now we have to discuss an issue of Kedushas Shvi'is. Let's say fruits, oranges, it's a good example, Israel's famous for its oranges. Let's assume there's no prohibition of Nevar or Meshumar, so the oranges you may eat. But you may eat them in a form which is known by the Poskim, based on the Mishnayos and the Masechta Shvi'is, as the Kedushas Shvi'is. They have Kedusha. Kedusha. You may not throw them out, lest they're inedible. You have to be careful with them. Hence, you will get there extra, you'll find something which is called the Pach Shmita. Pach Shmita means you see the garbage can over there. You have to throw the friends of the garbage. There will be two garbage cans in the dining room next year for you. There will be the regular garbage, you throw your junk, the bones of the chicken, and the paper plates. All goes into that garbage. There'll be another Pach Shmita, whatever's left of your fruits and vegetables, assuming that they grew in Eretz Yisrael, that Kedusha Shvi'is, are put separately, and they're treated with a certain measure of Kedusha. They wrap them up nicely, they put them in maybe a landfill, I don't know what they do with them exactly, but not just thrown away as a regular garbage. Fine. Any questions so far? Now let's discuss, you can go to a store, you want to buy fruits and vegetables, right? How do you do it? Again, what I'm saying now may not be relevant to you, this part of buying, until the end of the year, and they say Shana Bet the following year. When I was in Yeshiva Karen B'Yavne, I was in the year following Shemitah. I came in Elul of Shemitah, and I was there for the following year. I wish I would have known some of these dinim. Then we were so advanced, so you're going to be ahead of me. Mr. Shimil, though. That's it's more relevant probably for Shana Bet, but for Shana Aleph, as far as this is concerned. Now, the problem is, if you go to a store and he sells you Shemitah produce, he's not supposed to be selling it. He saw Shabbat, Oros Lachem Le'ochla, we read in Bahar, and Chazal Darshan, V'lo L'schor. You say, I'm not doing schar. I'm only buying. He's doing schar. He's selling. You're right. But there's a problem called lifnei iver lo siten mirshel. By buying from him and he's in violation of selling, you're aiding and abetting. Okay. Now, more than that, not only are you causing him to sin, if you will, by selling it to you, but you give him 10 shkolim. Guess what happens to those 10 shkolim? That's correct. An amazing dimah shmita. Almost unique. But the 10 shkolim that you give to the guy for the orange, the 10 shkolim now have kedusha shvi'is. So now, he's going to take those 10 shkolim and put it in, a slot machine. What am I going to do with it? Make a phone call? Or buy a newspaper? So that's not an appropriate usage of Kedusha Shvi'is. So you got him coming and going. First of all, he sold it, which he shouldn't have sold it. And second of all, the money you give him, he's going to use inappropriately. So it's a problem on these, on both levels. Now, here we go. What happens, is an interesting Lifnaivra question. If the two parties, A and B, A does something, he thinks it's okay. B doesn't agree with that heter. does B violate Lifnei Iver by enabling A to do something which A himself thinks is okay? B thinks it's not okay. What do you say about that? Got my comb? I want to give him a little shmud on this. A, let's review. A does something, he has a heter from a rov. B doesn't know from that heter. And he enables A to do what A thinks is what and B thinks is awesome. What do you say? Is it Lifnei Iver, yes or no?
Asking someone to open a bottle of Shabbos.
You guys learn Shabbos this year, so I don't know what the rabbi said about all these things. It's a good question. Let me tell you why it's relevant in this case. Because the word heter, when you come to Israel next year, everyone talks about the heter with a capital H. Let me tell you what they're talking about. They're talking about what's known as the heter mechira. The heter mechira goes back well over 100 years. It goes back to the 1880s, when the first pioneers came to the Holy Land. And they weren't able to survive, even under the best of conditions. Come Shemitah, if they keep Shemitah, they would just be wiped away completely. So they're looking for a heter. So there are a few rabbanim there in America, in Europe, the center of Jewish language in Europe, and the great rabbis wanted to be matter to sell the land to a goy. And once they sell land to a goy, they assumed that you can farm the land, and there's no kedusha shvius. It's like you sell it to a goy. It's like Uganda. It's like New York. That's not Eretz Yisrael anymore. That's what they were working with that assumption. And the famous rabbi, the most famous rabbi, whose name has been associated with this heter for the 1880s, was none other than the Meshachta, calls the word from our sponsor. None other than Rabbi Yitzchak Chaim Spector, exactly. He signed on the heter in 1888, as a matter of Terachim Tzion. Terachim, it was 1888. Of course, he added a line, assuming that the Bez and Yerushalayim will agree. Who's he? He's sitting at Kovna. He's telling people to do in Yerushalayim. And they didn't agree at the end. But it doesn't matter. He wrote the tshuva that can be matter for those who want to rely upon his head. Now, what if I learned in Karen B'Avna, for argument's sake, and they don't want to rely on this head? They shouldn't rely on that. The Tetris, very many people didn't like it. The Chazon Ish, most famous, didn't like it for a variety of reasons, which we'll try to get to. So, is it Lifnei Iver or not? That's your Rebbe. This is a general question. I think there's room to be lenient. There's no Lifnei Iver if the person, he's not an Iver, he's following the footsteps of Yitzchak Chachanan, and then others who follow him. And even though I don't agree necessarily, there's probably no Lifnei Iver. Presumably it would be okay. Nonetheless, it's preferred to buy in one of two ways. Either what's called the Havlah, you don't just buy oranges, you buy a whole bunch of things. It's hard to do that today where there's a checkout count, everything's itemized, etc. Or they say, better to pay by check or credit card. If you pay by check or credit card, at least there's no cash. Follow what I'm saying? You give them cash, the cash gets a kedusha. If you give them check and credit cards, it's a luft. So it's a little bit better if you can do that. Okay, now we come to another problem. So we discussed already Shumer and Ever, which is controversial. We discussed Svichin, which is certainly true for grains and vegetables. And now we're discussing kedusha shvius. Now item number four, yes.
Whatever, does the money that's been bought using the credit card, does that
have to be charged? Presumably, so it's too indirect. So on a loan, it's in the air, it's cyberspace. It won't move to be linked. Yes?
What was the first option there?
Havlah means, it's a Gemara, it's an option. I don't just buy oranges. I'm buying this whole lot. Whatever's in this thing, I'm buying for 50 shkolim. So it's 10 shkolim worth of oranges and then 4 shkolim worth of Cheerios and chicken and all kinds of other things. Question whether it works these days. Everything is itemized so specifically. That's a good question. Anyway, next issue is Biur. Beis Yud Ayin Vav Resh. What's a little translation of beer?
Burning.
Literally, burning. You're burning things. What's this? Like, why are you burning things? What's going on with burning? So that's the expression which is found in the Mishnah. Shalosh Haratos Lebir. It says in the Pasuk, the Rebbeimik, focus on Chumash and Rashi, as I am. You tell them to Chumash and Rashi? Yeah, you tell them? I assume they follow the Rebbe. You all learn Chumash and Rashi, I assume, in Parashas Bahar. At least they got Tilsheni. If you didn't get that Tilsheni, at least. So v'lehemtcha v'lachayo asher besadecha tiekol tvoas alechol. That's the last pasuk about Shemitah before we talk about Yovel. And the Rashi quotes from Chazal from the Gemara. If you can give the behemoth, you can certainly give the chaya. Chaya is a wild animal. You don't have no responsibility. It's not domesticated. The Gemara says kola l'chaya min hasode. Once there's no produce for the chaya, for the wild animal out in the wild blue yonder in the field, kalei the behemtucha min habayis. You have to get the food out of your house, and you can't even give it to your own domesticated animals. Which means, once the produce is no longer found around the outside of the field, you don't have to burn it, you have to eliminate it from your house. You have to be mafkir, to make it hefkir, to make it, whoever wants to take it, can take it. That's what we call in our abir. As a matter of fact, if you keep it beyond that time, it's called the zman abir, according to some, they may no longer be eaten. You will see charts when you get there to Israel, the zman habir, for each and every, again, it's pretty likely in the Shana Bet primarily, the zman habir for this, it's this time, Tu B'Shvat, and it's this time, all depends upon the facts of the agricultural cycle in Eretz Israel. Okay? Now, so then what do you do? Tu B'Shvat zman habir, yes?
So that means this is produce that was grown for Shemitah?
No. It's grown on Shemitah. It's Kedusha Shviz. Now, Tu B'Shvat. What do you have in the house? You have oranges. You know what you do? Take your dorm room, put it outside, call them Hefker. Whoever wants to take it can take it.
And then you're not, why it's Hefker? Why can't you eat it?
And say you can't eat it. So you put it out, you have Hefker, but I can take it and eat it. You know what? You can also take it and eat it. You know, it's man beer passes. You know no worse than me. But when the evidence man beer, he's got to put it out and say, now everyone can take it. Now, of course, it's an imprecise point, but okay. You'll ask Rabbanim how to figure this out exactly. Some say, empty mouth good every day. This man beer is between Tu B'Shvat and Purim. Every day you take your, the orange will last. Your apples, I don't know those apples. These don't last that long, these fruits. So every day you put it out, you take it back, put it out, take it back. Yes, I'm sorry.
So if you have some food that lasts a long time, you leave it on the hefker table for the zman of beer, and then it's just not eaten until after, and it's not eaten, and it's laying there after the zman of beer, are you still allowed to eat it?
Once the zman of beer passes, then you're allowed to take it back and eat it. Absolutely. Okay, let's go further. Now, there is a remarkable halacha, not found anywhere in the Mishnayos, not found anywhere in Talmud Bavli, it's found in the Tosefta. This Tosefta is called Otsar Bezdin. What does this mean? Let's take, you have the land of Israel, things are growing. No one's supposed to do business with them. So what's supposed to be? Hefker. Hefker means anyone can go and take it. But, some of you may have read about it in some of the third world countries where the American government is trying to distribute food when there's such famine. There's a lot of problems with distributing. Very big problems. Kill each other, and stuff rats in a silo. Distributing is not, people got to pay a lot of money for distributorships. They take food from the farms, and they get to the city, and they right? People make a living. Food distributors. I had someone in my shul who was a food distributor for many, many years. I sold his chametz, had a whole warehouse. So who's going to distribute the food? The owner can't touch it. It's hefker. Comes in Bezdin. Bezdin comes in, takes charge, and distributes the food. What's called an Otsar Bezdin. So Otsar Bezdin means the Bezdin is in charge of this field. The Bezdin will find a way how to get the fruit cut off the tree, and will gather the fruit into its some kind of warehouse, an Otsar, and will then distribute it to people who need the food, because everyone's allowed to eat it. Now, of course, the Bezdin is permitted to charge for its expenses. Bezdin doesn't have a bank account. So we'll charge it for the food for its expenses. Now, obviously, expenses should be much less than the amount that the typical food store charges you this year. Should be. Somehow or other, the big expenses in Shemitah and ends up paying about the same price. But officially, Otsar Bezdin is in charge. Otsar Bezdin, of course, will eliminate the problem of of beer. Why? Because it was already made hefker. It was made hefker as soon as given to the Beis Din. And then the Beis Din distributes it. Okay, fine. So you make these things where you say, oats are best, and I know what it is. It eliminates the problem of the beer, but of course the fruit still has kedusha shvius. You have to be careful how you take care of it. You have to have the shmita, pach shmita applies to oats are best and stuff as well. What about non-Jews who own land in Eretz Yisrael? Those who may know, there's a thing in the Galil called the Mishulash. Have you heard of it? What's the Mishulash? Anyone know what the Mishulash means? No one?
Triangle,
exactly. There's a geographical triangle which Arabs never left in 1948. In 1948, B'chazdei Hashem, most of the Arabs ran away. B'chazdei Hashem. They claim we chased them out, Dar Yassin. I'm not going about the history of that right now. You'll hear about it when you get to the Holy Land. But chased them, they ran away, whatever it is. They were afraid, they ran away. But in the Galil, in that area in particular, many, many Arabs stayed. And they became known as Israeli Arabs. They don't wear Arab dress. They wear Israeli modern Western dress. Now that means they don't dress too much. Whatever it may be. But we'll call them Western eyes, if you will. Israeli eyes, Arabs. And they really own a lot of land. And they grow, and the Galil is very, very bountiful. What do you do with that fruit? So number one, the prohibition of Sfichin, which we spoke about before, that if the it grows by itself, grains or vegetables. So we say that that does not apply for obvious reasons. The whole reason for the Yisur Sfichin is if Reuven is permitted to enjoy the fruits and the grains and vegetables which grew spontaneously, next thing you know, Reuven will plant in his field. But John owns it, or maybe Ahmad owns it. So Ahmad owns the field, and then the things grow. So why should the rabbis prohibit the grains and vegetables, lest Ahmad put, he's allowed to do it, he's Ahmad. He's not Reuven. Got it? That's what we assume. That's number one. Number one. Is there Kedusha Shvius? It grows on the Holy Land. On the other hand, the land was sold to an Arab. The Arab maybe had it for Dora Doris for 500 years, the Arab and his family owned it. Who knows what? This is speaking of 500 years, this was a controversy which goes back to the 16th century, now the 21st, to the 16th century between the two giants of their day. One is more famous than the other. His name was Rav Yosef Karo. Have you heard of him? You heard the name somewhere. Rav Yosef Karo is best known for his work Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch. He also wrote Tshuvas, Beis Yosef, Tshuvas, Afkas Rofa, two Tshuvas for him. He claims that if it grows, fruit grows in the land of an Arab, whatever guy happens to be living there, this fruit does not have Kedusha Shvius. Time is not allowed to go into the intricacies of where he got that result. That's what he says. And therefore, it's a chumrah. Oh, you think Rabbi Yosef Karo is a big maker. He's a machmir. It's not a Kedusha Shvius. It's not hefker, because Kedusha Shvius means it's hefker, basically. Therefore, you're chayav and maestris. Yeah. You have to take trumas and maestris. So paskind Rav Yosef Karo, and he was opposed by his contemporary and landsman, they both lived in Tzfat, the Mabit. Trumas Mabit, he writes, absolutely wrong, Rav Yosef Karo. It's the other way around. It has Kedusha Shvius, and you are Potter from Isa. You're a potter from Isa. Now, if Yosef Karo was unhappy that someone was opposing him, as he did what they used to in those days, he said, someone who does not take Meiser from Peyosh Shvius and grows in the land of Goy is in Cherem. He's excommunicated. They played for keeps in those days. So what's the meaning in Eretz Yisrael today? So Maran Bet Yosef, as he was known, was called Mara Da'ara Di Yisrael. He is the boss of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, in many communities, they follow his psak to this day. Minhag Yerushalayim is always to follow Maran Bet Yosef. But the Mabit has his chassidim as well. As a matter of fact, the number one defender of the Mabit, probably his influence is the greatest in the last 400 something years, is probably, to my historical knowledge, the Chazon Ish. Who was Chazon Ish? Avraham Yeshaya Karelitz, who came to Eretz Yisrael in the 1930s, and he wrote a lot on Shvius, and he said, listen, I love Rabbi Yosef Karo, he spends his whole life about Shulchan Aruch, but he's wrong. He's wrong. My bit is right. So now there are people who take both chumras. They give it Kedusha Shvius on the one hand, like the Mabit. On the other hand, they're afraid of the Chemer of Yosef Karo, they take Maisus anyway. Of course, you're not allowed to take Maisus according to the Mabit, because it's no Kedusha Shvius in the garbage. But they're afraid of both sides. That's what some do. Many of you Shalim, I said, was the father of Yosef. Now, you'll say, okay, how much did they grow in the Mishulash already? You know, I'm not mechuyav to assume that the oranges I buy come from there. But now we come to the Heter Mechira. The so-called Heter Mechira was done primarily originally for the farmers themselves, and whether they're allowed to plant this field after it's sold to a non-Jew, I'm not even going into that now, because you're not going to farm. The key question is, assuming that the land is sold to a guy, that the sale is valid, guess what? All of Eretz Yisrael that's sold, which is almost the whole country, becomes one big mishulash. It's all owned by some sheik or some ahmad somewhere. He owns all the land. And then the question would then be, not only would the farmer be off the hook, according to those whom he follows, but even you as the consumer will be off the hook, because you're buying Israeli produce that's sold through the Rabbanut, which still does it to this day. It's like you're buying from the Mishulash, which is really owned by the Arabs. Now, again, there are those who say this whole head there was bogus. Absolute bogus. What do you mean? We sell the chametz. Do we all sell the chametz? We also kind of we buy it back after Pesach is over. So there are those who say the same thing. So what's the difference? Well, they say, no, come on, the chametz you sell for real. Here it's a fake. So why is it a fake? Why should it be a fake? They're really selling it. The guy's a frumiyid. He wants to make sure he's doing things properly. So he hasn't mind to really sell it. I mean, why shouldn't we be good? Well, there's a big question. Are you allowed to sell it? You're allowed to sell chametz, no question about it. The pasuk says in Dvarim, lo sechonim, and Chazal darshin, lo sitlem chanoya bekarka. Don't sell land a very short to a guy. He said, okay. So you violated lo sechonim, but that's the farmer's problem. It's not my problem. So comes along, Chazon Ish says, no, since the farmer is not permitted to sell the land to a guy. When he appoints the Rabbanut to sell the land to a guy, we apply a very famous principle from Masechta Bava Metzia, Kiddushin, etc. What's that? Ein shliach l'dvar aveira. And therefore the entire sale is null and void. So I told him to do something which is sinful. So that in that particular case, the sale is invalid because the entire agency is cancelled. Most, Rabbi Yitzchak Yochanan said there's no issur to sell the land. It's only temporary for a year or two, and it's for the good of the community. Some say an Arab now is this like a Ger Toshav, and there are other leniencies. There are others who say the sale's invalid. You know why? It's not registered with the government, what they call the tabu, which is the official land registry of the Holy of Eretz Yisrael. Something I don't really mean to do it. Whatever. If the sale is valid, we're going to work with that assumption for the moment, then if Yosef Karo's ruling is critical, because if he's right, all this stuff does not have Kedushas Peres Shvius. So everything's mutter. Even the grains and vegetables should be mutter because they're grown on Ahmad's land, as we said earlier. Everyone agrees with respect to the Mishulash, presumably, that is true. Although, again, some have disagreements, especially over here where it's only sold for a period of time, we're afraid they don't plant it. That's the case, maybe. So therefore, there's much more to be said, but I said I would speak for half an hour. Bottom line is, if you follow Rav Yosef Karo's psak, you're basically okay. If you don't, you're in trouble. That's what it boils down to. Your respective yeshivas will have different policies. My guess is that most yeshivas will adopt a stricter view. And they will not rely on the quote het and mechira because they want it to be kosher according to everybody. And they know that's a controversial matter. So they don't want to rely on het and mechira. That's, I think, the prevailing view opinion in most yeshivas. So where do they get the fruit and vegetables from? Where do they get it from? You'll have less fruits and vegetables. Now, when it comes to vegetables, it'll become apparent immediately. The vegetables, which depends on what follows what we call the kita, depends on the time when you take it off the ground, and there can be problems. In some yeshivas, they may not get very few vegetables because they have to get it from chutz lards. There's a whole tumah that were borrowed from the PLO. And the tzioina went crazy. You're not going to buy our stuff because you're a chumbris and you're giving the money to our people are murdering us. You know, in Israel, things get very hot very quickly. You should sit and learn. Don't get involved in the heat. But that's an issue which it may affect you pretty early on. They're going to bring it from Europe. Whatever. So you follow in yeshiva the way of the yeshiva's policy. I'm guessing that most yeshivas are going to go to are going to not rely on the mechira. As far as going out in the rest of the world, invited to relatives, to friends, and they rely on the mechira, in my opinion, you're allowed to rely on it in such a circumstance. There's a very great rabbi that ended with this, named Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Everyone heard of Shlomo? Everyone knows who he was. Passed away almost 20 years ago. Big tzaddik. So, 70 years ago, 10 Shemitahs ago, he wrote a humongous classical work called Madane Aretz on Shemitah. And he discusses at great length the issue of the Het and Mechira. And his bottom line is, for the farmers, I really can't subscribe to it. It's too complex. But for the consumer, is what to rely upon. Because Beis Yosef is Yerushalmi. Can I tell you a secret? It's a little sad secret. All the Rav Shlomo Zalman's songs have been printed and reprinted and reprinted and reprinted, except for that one. Can't get it. Unless you know differently. Check it out. They're afraid to reprint it now because the politics has changed. And they don't want to besmirch his reputation by letting it know what everybody wrote over there. Crazy world, if you ask me. But that's, I think the library still has it. Yes?
The Het HaMechira does work, that would make everything chayav in Shumos and Masros.
If the Het HaMechira works, and if you follow the Beis Yosef with Yosef Karo, everything's chayav in Shumos and Masros, absolutely.
So if you really want to be mafia, you should not
rely
on the Het HaMechira for
Shemitah,
but take
Shumos and
Masros.
That's what they did. I told you before. People would follow the Beis Yosef, both chumras.
But most yeshivas don't do that. They just assume.
Most yeshivas, I don't know what they do. I can't say. I don't know. Yes, Tom.
Well, what are you recommending Lamaisa's boy goes away for Shabbos or whatever it is.
I'm saying, if you buy your own fruits and vegetables in a store, look for a good Ashkach. Ashkach will say, Badatz. It'll say, you know, Badatz means they're not going to have the Mechir, the Shona, and other things like that. You should learn a lot of Badatz. There's a whole list of food stores.
Loch Shashvi is
whatever that is. That's what you should do. Of course, you ask a few Shkolim. Loch Hashem, you can afford a plane ride to Israel, you can afford a few Shkolim. The problem is you go to someone's house who's relying on the Mechir. So I don't want to. So you'll say, don't go. If you don't go, there's no problem. Let's say it's a relative. You have to go or something, whatever it may be. So Rav Shlomo Zalman writes in that Sefer. And if you're a guest somewhere, you can rely on the Het HaMechira. It's in the Sefer Beremiza. There's a whole controversy. What he said about this? Look at Hamayan. Hamayan comes up by the Shalavim. Anyone go to Shalavim? So you get the Hamayat, I'm sure it's in the library there, all the issues. You look it up, there's a whole fight there, what Rav Shlomo Zalman said about this. Because you know Rav Shlomo Zalman was very careful how he spoke. And he was talking to, how he phrased it, you understand? But way back in the 40s, before he was still a young man. He was a man then 30-something years old. He didn't have to worry about what the world's going to say about it. There he told his real opinion that there is what to rely upon. So then later years, he was frick. He phrased it this way, he phrased it that way. Many gedolim, they're careful how they say the opposite. He said this and this. Remember the opposite. He talked to different people. He used an ambiguous phrase. He was careful. But the bottom line is, there's some room to be leaned.
That's
another issue.
So
you got it. So leave out. You nikam b'chodesh Elul. You go to someone's house. It's not nushmit. What do you do with meisim? So you either you work with an assumption that the host knows about trumas or meisim, which is hopefully a charitable assumption. If not, if you're there during the week, you can just quietly take your own trumas or meisim. How do you do that? So v'nechshav lechem trumasim. You can do it in your head. What you do is you take a little piece off, a little more than 1% of every thing which grows, fruits, vegetables, etc. Put a little to the side. Have in mind this should be Trumas Meiser. Have in mind what you should say if you actually do it literally with your own hands. A very brief text. Kol hafroshos hapidyonos yochulu kedas. What's kedas? Kenusach art scroll. That's what I tell people to say. That works even in Israel. They have an art scroll there too. In art school center, they preview a whole thing. You can look it up by after benching the whole. You can't say the whole thing every time. But it's incorporation by reference. You do that. So during the week, you can actually say it and put it aside. And on Shabbos, you have a problem. There's an issue about taking Shabbos Meis on Shabbos. It's a complicated tonight you can make, but that goes beyond the one that I've allowed over here. You'll ask the local Rav what to do. Yes, I'll take questions before letting you go. Yeah.
So, if the whole problem of Vathira was if the farmer is giving it over to the basin, that would be interesting to have the Barbera, but if the farmer worked with the Arab directly...
Rabbi Shechta Shalita had a Shas Atcha case working for the OU, and it was a Rabbi Whiteman, if I'm not mistaken. Rabbi Whiteman is the Rav of Tnuva, very chosh of Yid, he was the Rav of Kfar Etzion, I think maybe still is the Rav of Kfar Etzion, to my knowledge. And he arranged for some certain kind of spice. They should sell the land, not the drabanut. The farmer sold straight to the Arab to avoid this problem of the shdil of Aravera. I have to say that Rabbi Shechta took tremendous flack in certain circles for that psak, even though he felt it was appropriate because of Shas Atchak, and he sold it directly and did all the Hidurim. But still, the people came, how could Rabbi Shechta do this? The OU is accepted throughout the world. They're putting in spices, which I think is a problem of Shemitah. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's the world we live in today. In other words, our Shech is a tzaddik, a hero. He's helping out Klal Yisrael, helping out Eretz Yisrael. But today, in the age of Chumras, people have a different attitude to those things. So again, you have different people have different ways of looking at these things. Any final questions?
Yeah, one. Yeah. What was the
message
that you're supposed to say when you're talking?
Oh, I can tell you about Pem. Write it down. Kol ha'afroshos, it's all the tithings, v'apidyonos. Now, this was called, if it's meiser, if you know about meiser, sheni, you have to be poda on a pruta. Now you say, well, I don't have a pruta. But every yeshiva has, someone has a pruta somewhere, some rav, and it gives you a shush to use this pruta. If you want to use it, I have one too, in America, use mine if you want. Kol ha'afroshos apidyonos, yochulu, should take effect, kedas, kol ha'alocha. What does that mean? It's a whole text in the art school. Do you have another art school sitting here? No, yeah. An art school sitting here? Yeah, I want to show you where to find it. So you should at least. Oh, I knew there'd be a bell sometime around. I'm ending.
It's a relative bell.
Let's see if I can find it. This is the Hebrew. We don't go by that. It doesn't exist. You can find it here. Hold on, I'm looking for it. Hold on. I'm not sure. Hold on a minute, please. Hold on. I'm not sure what's in here. Here we go, brachas. It's assorted brachas. Here we go. Page 226. Gentlemen, 226 in this art school sitter, which is English. It gives you a whole 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines for the hafrasha, and a line and a half for the pidyon. Who could memorize all this? It's impossible. So you say, scroll, you have in mind what's from 226, but you should know, though. It's very important. Look it up first, and maybe look at 227, where it's in English, so everyone should know what it means. And then you have in mind, whenever you say that or think that, it should take effect. He will brocha batzlof in Eretz Yisrael, should grow tremendously in Torah of Yerushalayim.
Amen.